Okay, today we're learning Kritut Yudchet. Okay, in the Mishnah, there was a case, the basic classic case of Asham Taloi, which is you ate something, you're not sure if it's Chelev or Shuman. But now we learn that there's a big debate about whether this is only if you had two pieces. One was Chelev, one was Shuman, and you ate one of them and you're not sure which one you ate. Or is it even in a case where you ate, there was only one piece, and you just don't know, was this Shuman or was it Chelev? Okay, so this is a big debate that we're going to see between, I charted out in the sheet from yesterday's daf, between Rav Asi and Chiya Bar Rav and all these people who say it in the name of Rav, that Rav Asi says, even on one Chaticha, you're going to be Chayav, and we're going to see others who hold like him also, versus Chiya Bar Rav, or Rav himself, who says that it has to be that there were two pieces in order to be Chayav. So the first way they saw the machloka between them was that is it yesh em la masoret or yesh em la mikra, which is something we see a number of times where something's written one way in the Torah, but it's pronounced a different way. So the masoret goes by the way it's written. That says mitzvat. By Asham Taloi, the pasuk says mitzvat with only one vav. So we read it as mitzvot, but it's written as if it's singular. So he says that teaches you one chaticha. Comes Rav and says, no. This is Rav's interpretation of the machloket, that it says it's read as mitzvot. That means yesh em la mikra, the way we read it. We read it, not the way it's written, but the way it's actually, I always find it tricky, because it sounds like the opposite. The masoret is, we have a masoret about how we read things, but the nikud is. So I always find that, but it's mikra means the way it's read according to the tradition that we have about it. Okay, so that's the machloket according to the first reason. Okay, we're going to start today with the second reason. Amar Rabbi Zeira, five lines from the bottom. My time de Rav, de kasavar shte chatichot, efshar levarer isuro. Chaticha achat, I efshar levarer isuro. If you have two pieces, well then, and you ate one, there's still one left. So now, if we know that one was Shuman and one was Chelev, we can find an expert who knows the difference between Shuman and Chelev. He could come, analyze what we have in front of us, and determine what the story was. So since there's a way, think about it. What's Asham Taloi? We've said this many times, but I'll keep repeating it. Asham Taloi only takes you, it tides you over until such time that you determine whether you need to really bring a chatat or not. Now, if there's no way to ever determine what happened, well then maybe you have to bring an Asham Taloi. So he says like this, only when there's a way to determine. Now it's true, if you didn't ever determine, we don't know that you're never going to determine, but since it's theoretically possible to determine, therefore you're chayav an Asham Taloi until you actually determine the truth.
Which is sort of weird, because there's so many times when we don't actually find out what did he mean, what did he say. Like there's so many times in Gemara where actually checking it doesn't seem to be an option.
Right.
And that an awful lot rides on checking.
Well, in Asham Taloi specifically, or you're talking about in general?
In general.
We're talking about specifically what an Asham Taloi is.
Right, but the case of an Asham Taloi would ride on being able to check when so many instances of so many things in Gemara aren't relevant, don't ride on that, when they would seem to be equally important.
No, but this is a unique category. That's what I'm trying to say. Asham Taloi is a unique category where it's called Taloi. It's hanging until you figure out. So if it's hanging until you figure out, well, then the assumption is we must be able to figure it out. And therefore, if it's only one piece, now this would assume, by the way, that if there was only one piece, then you ate the entire piece, right?
Which is more than a
kazayim. What if you left it over? Well, no, let's say the piece was only a kazayim, okay? It would theoretically sound like, according to Rabbi Zeir's interpretation, if you have one piece but there was a lot left still and you could determine what the story was, then maybe you'd also be chayav in that case. So anyway, so he says, my time of Now, my ika ben tama de rava le tama de Rabbi Zeir. So now we're going to say, what's the nafka mina between the two opinions? Ikabinayu kazayat bemechze. He's a different ikabinayu than I said. What if you have a kazayat and a chatzizayat? So now there's an interesting nafkamina. Lirava, so you have, right, one half a zayat of something and a zayat of something else, right? One is chelev, one is shuman, we don't know which is which. Okay, so now you ate the zayat one, obviously, because you're not going to be chayav a korban unless you eat a kazayat. So now, do we call this shtei chatichot or not? Well, for tzarich levarer, you still could be mevarer because you could check out the chatzizayit. So what? That it's less than a shiur. But if you want to say mitzvot and mitzvot is two, right, then you don't have two here, because the mitzvah has to be something that could have been mechayev you a korban. So according to Rava, you don't have two mitzvot here because you're missing a shiur, you're short. Okay? So therefore, l'Rava leka mitzvot upator, l'Rabbi Zera efshar l'parer isuva. Okay, now, if you learned yesterday's stuff, you'll see that we're now going to have the exact same sources that we have raised as questions on the previous interpretation of Rav. We're now going to use all those same sources and ask them as questions. Again, this is a little bit repetitive, and here I charted out how we're going to use these three sources, both to question Rav Zera's answer and also to question Rav Nachman's answer, and it was used yesterday to question Rav's. And since Rav, Rav Zera, and Rav Nachman are all explaining Rav, theoretically, all these sources are all questions on all of them. So, Eitzim Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zera. It'll make this part of the daf a little easier because it's all repeating. Rabbi Lazar Omer. So, the following source says that according to Rabbi Lazar, koi chayavim al chabo asham taloi. What is koi? It's an animal that we don't know exactly what it is. It's a safek behema, safek chaya. We don't know, is it, in which category it falls into. Only chelav behema is aser, and therefore, here you have a case where it's one chaticha basically, right? Koi chayavim al chabo asham taloi, and you can't mevarer isura, because we don't know, right? Nobody knows what it is. It's not a case where, oh, eventually we'll find out. Did you eat the chelav of a behema or not? No, you won't ever find out. So, Amar le Rabbi Eliezer savar, lo be'ina levarer isuro. Rabbi Eliezer is of a different approach. He doesn't fit in with Rav, okay? He doesn't hold that way. He thinks you don't have to be mevarer isuro. Theoretically, he really thinks that one chaticha can be mechayev you. Etive, next case. Safek ben tisha l'rishon or ben shiva l'acharon. You have a case where a woman was married, her husband dies without children, she does yibum with the brother. But then she marries him within the first 3 months of her husband dying. She now is pregnant, has a baby, and gives a birth 9 months after the first husband died. So we don't know, is it a 9-month baby? Remember, in halacha, there's always either 9-month babies or 7-month babies, 8-month babies, they assume are not viable. Either it's a premature baby for the second husband, or it's a full-term baby for the first husband. Now, what's the problem? If it was a premature baby, we're fine, right? The husband died, he had no children, she did yibum, that's great. If it belonged to the first husband, then she wasn't allowed to be with the second husband, okay? However, the child is not affected by that because the child came from a perfectly good marriage, okay? So the fact that she did something wrong and slept with, but you're not allowed to sleep with your brother's wife, which is what happened here, unless Yibum allows it. In this case, it turns out retroactively there was no chi of Yibum, so they have to get divorced, basically. But the Vlad is fine because the Vlad was born from the first husband then, or born from the second husband, in which case they were allowed to be married. So what do we say? Yotzi, they have to get divorced. V'havlad kasher. Okay, but the offspring is kasher. V'chayab asham taloyim. Both the people there, right, the male and the female, the ones who got married, the second marriage, have to give an Asham Talui, because maybe, right, they did an Isur Arayot, the Beis Shadach. So again, what do you see here? This is not something we'll ever be able to figure out. Okay, they didn't have DNA testing in those days. That would have helped here. Okay, if they could figure out, was it really the offspring of the first husband or the second husband, right? Nowadays, you can figure that out. Then they couldn't figure that out. So you'd be chayav an Asham Talui. So again, what do you see? Efshar levarer isuro, and yet you still bring an asham taloi. So what do they answer? Hamane, Rabbi Eliezer. He again, you say this must hold like Rabbi Eliezer. The first one was easy to say because it was actually Rabbi Eliezer shita. Once we establish that Rabbi Eliezer holds differently, we can just say, oh, this source goes by Rabbi Eliezer. Etive, third source. Nimtzal shela atyom tmeim chayvim b'korban. Okay, a husband sleeps with his wife, and when they check themselves after having relations, and she sees immediately after that there's blood. So she realizes, oh, you know, I must have been in Nida when we have relations. So what do we say? Chayavim b'korban. They have to bring a korban chatah, because that's vaday. And they don't bring the first source, which we'll see in a minute, which was if he finds on a bedika cloth after he has sex, even if it's not immediate, obviously the blood came from her, and then it would also be vaday. The only question is going to come when nimtzal shela la'achrasman. If she does a bedika after a certain amount of time passes, okay, it doesn't say exactly how much time passes here, but then she sees, then it's not clear. Maybe she got her period in the interim, and then when they had relations, she wasn't in nida. So that's a safek case. That's going to be the important case for us. Tmeim v'chayavim b'korban. Okay, he becomes tameh. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention. if she finds immediately, then they both, she's Tameh, Tumat Nida, and he's Tameh, because someone who sleeps with a woman in Nida also becomes Tameh. Okay, so La'achar Zman Tameh Imi Safek, they're both Safek Tameh, Upturi Min HaKorban. Okay, or really, I guess he's Safek, she's obviously, because now she's in Nida, but they're Upturi Min HaKorban. Okay, they don't have to bring a Korban. Now, what does it mean they have to bring a korban? They don't have to bring a korban chatat, because it wasn't vadat. But, Tanei Allah, there's a bright about this source that says, v'chayavim ba'asham taloi, but they do have to bring an asham taloi because she found blood soon after having sex, not immediately after, and therefore there's a concern that maybe she was in nida at the time, and therefore they bring an asham taloi, and again, what do you say, right? This is not something they can ever figure out. This is really hard to determine. You can't go back in time and figure out when the blood started. So, again, what do they answer? Hamane, Rabbi Eliezer, he. Okay, very simply, this is Rabbi Eliezer Shita, and therefore, right, if you really held Shtei Chatichot like Chachamim do, then you wouldn't say this. Okay, so therefore, again, that was all to explain. This is Rabbi Zeira's explanation of Rav, and we just say, oh, Rav holds by a different Tana and not by Rabbi Eliezer. And all of these fit into the Rabbi Eliezer camp. Third explanation of Rav. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, Ravua, Amar Rav. Okay, he actually says this in the name of Rav. Hayu lepanav shtei chatichot, achat shel chelev, achat shel shumam. Achal achat mehem ve'en yodea eze mehen achal, chayav. Chatichat safek shel chelev, safek shel shumam, va'achla, patur. Okay, so again, two chatichot, safek, you're chayav. One chaticha, you're patur. Okay, that's Rav, we know that. Comes Rav Nachman and says in his own name though, Amar Rav Nachman, my time adirav. What's the reason for Rav? Third answer, okay, remember, we have mitzvot, because it says double mitzvot, because you read it as mitzvot plural. We have, it has to be that you can check, right? The reason you need two is because then you can check from the second one, was it usher or not? Third answer is, this is interesting. What does this mean? If you have one chaticha and you're not sure if it's chaylev or it's shuman, okay? This is like I'll give you an example where people, this comes up. When do you make a birkat agomel? Okay, someone said to me once, I'll give you an example. A hurricane happens and the glass breaks and it... Someone told me the story, and the glass, okay, this was someone who wasn't in the house at the time, and the glass was like broken and thrown right where the person always sits, like in the most commonly sat chair in the house, okay, where the person sits and reads all the time, and right there, and the person said, wow, thank God, you know, I wasn't there. It would have like smashed right into me had I been there. So it could have happened, but nothing actually happened, right? Do you make a berachah gomel on something like that? You know, you were saved from something. What does it mean to be saved from something? The potential that something could have happened, right? How far do we take it? So here, the fact that you ate something, but we have no idea was there even isser there. We have a sefik. There's reason to believe that maybe it was chaylev, but we don't know if there was really chaylev there. So chaticha chat, you don't bring. But if there's two chatichot, and one was vaday usser, and one was sefik, and then it's just a matter of which one did you eat, that's already closer to saying there was reason to believe. Okay?
By this logic, then what you're saying is anytime a person eats one piece of fat, should always have to bring an asham taloi.
No, it's only if there's chayla. No, dafka the opposite.
Only when why, the choice
first
is
of all, first of all, why, if you bring any piece of fat, normally a piece of fat is just fat. There's no reason to believe
but
it's chaylev.
But you have no way of knowing. Like, it could be, that's the opposite.
The first logic, but where he's definitely explaining the opposite. He's saying only when you know this isra there. If you know there were two things, and one had chaylev and one had shuman, and you took one of them, there's a 50-50 chance. It's kind of like that, right? 50-50 chance that what you ate, right? The other is also 50-50. It's 50-50 shuman or chaylev, but we don't even know that there was chaylev there. Whereas here, we know there was chaylev. It was clear there was chaylev. It's just a matter of did you eat that one or not.
But why can't you say that if you have one piece and you don't ever know, there could have been 100% chance it was chaylev? I mean, that's the whole thing. We're not
because
knowing.
In the beginning, there was no definite...
But there's no definite issue.
You can determine when there's one piece. You can determine that something definite when there's two pieces.
But then why even talk about the first
There's
piece?
Nothing definite. Well, again, there's different approaches. This is his approach. His approach is there has to be a definite issue. Not everybody agrees with that. Other people say no.
Start with.
Right. Right. He says there was no definite issue here, and therefore you're not chayav. So, my ika ben ikbi isura l'shi'i afshar l'varer. So what's the difference between the two, and really all the three? So they say, afshar l'varer isurei. Ikabinayu kigon shayulafanav shtei chatichot. Achad shel chelev, achad shel shuman. Okay, here's a new nafkamina. You have two pieces. One is chelev, one is shuman. Okay, so far we know that case, but here's going to be a different twist. Uba ove kochavim v'achal tarishona. Non-Jew comes along and eats the first one. Uba Yisrael v'achal tashniya. So what are we going to say here? When the Yisrael ate it, there was only one. But originally, there were two. So when it comes to Rabbi Zeira, he'd say, ikbi Yisura. But according to all the others, he won't be. Because l'rabba leka mitzvot, b'inna da'achal Yisrael, when the Yisrael came and ate it, there weren't mitzvot. There was only one left. And the Rabbi Zeira, if Charlevereri Sure, because the first case, first piece was already eaten, you can't ever determine. But the Rav Nachman, Ikbi Isura. But according to Rav Nachman, there was a definite Isur there. It's just got eaten, but we don't know which one got eaten, and therefore it could be it was the one he ate, and therefore you will be Chayav. Etive Rav and the Rav Nachman. So now we bring all the same three questions on Rav Nachman, and here there's going to be a bit of a different answer for the third. Okay, it's a little strange. We'll see why. So again, we have this case of the koi. So what do we say? We say, again, it's Rabbi Eliezer. Okay? That's Shita Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer lo bai kviyuta li sura. So now we establish, one can learn from the fact that Rabbi Eliezer is machayev in a case of koi. It must be, right? There's no definite isur there. We have no idea. Is it chelev? Is it behema? Is it chaya? Therefore, is the chelev aser. So therefore, you'd have to determine from here that Rabbi Eliezer must not need kviyuta li sura. Eitive, safek ben tisha l'rishon or ben shiva l'acharon, yotziv avlag kasher, v'chayavim ba'asham taloi. So again, that case with the child, and we don't know who it belongs to, and yet, right, the fact that she slept with him, you have to bring an asham taloi, even though we don't know, maybe there was chiyav yibum, maybe there wasn't. So again, now once you establish that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't need for you to leave sura, we can say, hamane Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, third one, eitive, nimtza shelo, again, if he sees it on his bidika, t'me'im, v'chayavim b'korban, right, we can assume for sure she was in Nida. Nimsal shala, she finds blood atum immediately to me'im b'chayavim b'korban. But nimsal shala la'achar zman, but if she finds afterwards, this is the important part, to me'im misafek u'ptuim b'na korban. V'tanei ala, right, they're ptuim from a korban chatat, but it says v'chayavim b'asham taloi, but they're chayav b'asham taloi, so again, this raises a question. Now, what do you expect his reaction is going to be? That source is Rabbi Eliezer. But he doesn't say that, okay? This is a question the Rabbi asked Rabbi Nachman, and it says, Ishtib. He was silent. Lebatar dinafik, after Rava left, we've seen this kind of situation many times, right? Rava walks out the door, and then all of a sudden, he says to himself, Rav Nachman, Amar, my time, alo amrele, why didn't I say to him? Now, at this point, you're expecting him to say, why didn't I say to him as Rabbi Eliezer? But he doesn't say that either. Why didn't I say to him, Dahamani, Rabbi Meir, that this must hold like Rabbi Meir? Dilobai kviyuta li sura, because Rabbi Meir doesn't need this issue of kviyuta li sura, that there was a definite issue there. How do we know this? Ditanya hashochet asham taloi b'chutz. Rabbi Meir mechayev v'chachamim potrim. Okay, what does this mean? You take an asham taloi. Now, an asham taloi is a whole safek korban as it is, right? Now, this is like an asham taloi and an asham taloi. You take this asham taloi and you sacrifice it outside the Beit HaMikdash. Now, you're not allowed to take, you slaughter it outside the Beit HaMikdash. That's called shchutei chutz. You're not allowed to slaughter something that's supposed to be inside, outside. On the other hand, the asham taloi was a suffix in the first place. So maybe you didn't really need to bring the asham taloi, and then the animal really could have been slaughtered outside. So Rabbi Meir says that you're chayav to bring, wait one second, Rabbi Meir is mechayav for you to bring an asham taloi on this asham, on what you did. On the right, it's an asham taloi and asham taloi, okay? Because, right, every korban asham is suffix kodshim, and therefore, it could be, right, so now, and he's chayav you here, he's mechayav you on the fact that you did this outside, maybe it was usher for you to do that, maybe it was mutar, because maybe you didn't really eat the chelev, maybe you really ate shuman, and then it would have been allowed. Because of that, he's mechayav you to bring an asham taloi on that. Now, what does this show you? That according to him, asham taloi, there's no ikbe isura, there was no definite isur here. You shechted something outside the Beit HaMikdash, maybe it was allowed for you, because maybe you didn't even really need to bring the asham taloi. By the way, this shows something interesting about the chiyuv of an asham taloi, that even the chalot of an asham taloi, the fact you have to bring one, isn't necessarily a definite chiyuv. Because you see here, that if you do shchutei chutz, it might still have been, according to Rabbi Meir, still viewed as mutar. Okay? Right? It's not clear. Okay? Chachamim potrin. They say you're pater from bringing an Hashem Tadlay on this. Now, so what do you see here? Rabbi Meir's right there, poter, because there's no definite iser here. You didn't necessarily do anything wrong definitively. Both Rabbi Meir and Chachamim view this Hashem Tadlay as maybe you didn't actually need to bring it in the first place, and therefore maybe it's still chul in this animal. It's very interesting. You might have thought once there's a chiyuv Hashem Tadlay, the chiyuv kicks in and it's vadai kochim, but not necessarily. So now, what do you see? Rabbi Meir's machayev, even though there's no definite iser. So he said, I could have told him it was according to Rabbi Meir. So now the Gemara asks the obvious question, which is, amai leimale to Rabbi Eliezer he? Why didn't he just say it's Rabbi Eliezer? Why did he say, I should have told him it was Rabbi Meir? Why didn't he say, I should have told him it was Rabbi Eliezer? Why didn't he tell him right away it was Rabbi Eliezer? So, ha-kamashbalan, what he was saying when he said, I should have told him it was Rabbi Meir, he wanted to say, I could have taught him something new. What could I have taught him? To Rabbi Meir, but she taught Rabbi Eliezer, kai. We could have taught him that Rabbi Meir actually fits in with Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, the two go together. That would have been a big chiddush. To say Rabbi Eliezer, the point why he was ishtik, I think, was that he was kind of saying, it's obvious. You know it's Rabbi Eliezer. Don't answer that question. I'll just say the same answer I said with all the others. Okay? But he could have added something additional that he said afterwards. I should have told him that. Amar Rabbi Ravua Amarav. Chatichat sapek shal chelev, sapek shal shumam ba'achala, banu lemachloket Rabbi Eliezer v'chachamim. Okay, so he said something pretty obvious, although we're going to question in a minute. But if there's sapek chelev, sapek shuman, and he eats it, that's the machloket Rabbi Eliezer v'chachamim, which we know, because it's one chaticha. Rabbi Eliezer will say you can bring an Hashem Tadlay, because he says it's okay. And chachamim say no, which is the same machloket, if you look at the top of your sheet, between Ravasi and Rav. And Moraim were having the same machloket that really we established Tanaim were debating. But now they say, they bring us something else about Rabbi Eliezer that would make us think that something's off here. The Rabbi Eliezer, my iriaki achla, afilu lo achla nami. Why did you have to say that achatichazavet shochazavet shuman that you ate is the machlok of Rabbi Eliezer v'chachamim? Because actually, Rabbi Eliezer thinks that you don't even have to have eaten it to be chayav in Hashem Tadlay. What could that possibly mean? Tahatnan, doesn't it say in the Mishnah? Okay, it's the Mishnah on Kafe in our Masechet. Rabbi Eliezer omer min nadev adam Hashem Tadlay b'chol yom. Ah, this is fascinating. What does he say? You can bring an Hashem Tadlay every single day.
Just
meaning,
in case you've messed up.
Okay, this is what we call the obsessive, right? This could lead to obsessivity of constantly worrying, maybe I did something, and maybe that's why the general opinion is not to agree with it. Okay, there's going to be three opinions here. Right now we're seeing two, and in a minute we'll see the third, which is, no, you can't be Minadev and Hashem Tadlay, only if you actually did something that you have a suffix about, can you do it? According to Rabbi Eliezer, you can bring it on anything you want. And that's why, of course, among chaticha you can bring, but you don't even have to eat it. You can just, for no reason, bring an Hashem Tadlay. So that's why they're questioning it. So they say, oh no. And Rav Ashi, what they mean here by Rabbi Eliezer, they mean Rabbi Eliezer Aliba Debaba Ben Buta. He appeared in the Mishnah, Ditznan. Okay, he says in the Mishnah there, you really should read the whole thing because they only quote part of it. But if you look in Daf Kafe, so Rabbi Eliezer says, "Minadev b'chol yom," okay, "Minadev Hashem Tadlay b'chol yom v'yom, b'chol et sheyirtze." Hu haya nikra Hashem Chasidim. They call that the Hashem Chasidim, okay, right? Like a Chasid is very careful. You know, they might do, or I don't know, careful, but always trying to do extra. Amu alav Abava ben Buta shaya minadev Hashem Tadlay b'chol yom. He agreed with Rabbi Eliezer, but with a minor variation. Chutz me'achar yom kippurim yom echad. Okay, he would wait one day. And that's because the rabbi said to him, Amara ma'onaze ilo ayu menichim li hayiti mevi, I really would have brought, elon rimli, but the rabbis told me, himtien achetikanes lebet ha-safek. Wait till you get into some sort of safek situation. I was thinking about this, it's very interesting, because theoretically, why do you have to wait till one day after Yom Kippur? Theoretically, then every day you bring an Hashem Tadlay, you should wait one whole day. It sounds like, and maybe they think that Yom Kippur, people are extra careful the day after Yom Kippur. And dafka there, there's less likelihood that people are going to do something wrong, and there's the time we have to wait one extra day. Because also I think he's saying, maybe the other way to say it is, for Rabbi Eliezer didn't really mean do it every day, he just meant, but if wait a day between the last time, and they say after Yom Kippur, because even Yom Kippur has the status of Hashem Tadlay. It's as if you brought an Hashem Tadlay, and therefore, after Yom Kippur, wait another day. So that's why maybe he meant only ba'achal, there has to be some sort of tikanes lebet ha-safek. Tana Rabbanan, hayu lefanav shtei chatichot, achat shal shuman, achat shal chelev. Now we're going back to this case with the Yisrael and the Ovei Kochavim. By Yisrael v'achal et harishona. We're now going to have a number of different options. Okay, I charted out the bottom of the first side. Oved kochavim came and ate. The Yisrael came and ate the first piece. Okay, this is the opposite of the case we saw. The non-Jew came and ate the second. Chayav. Okay, your chayav and Hashem tadoi. V'chein kelev v'chein orev. Okay, if a kelev came, a bird came, right? These are all potential animals that could have eaten your food. Okay, so now, if it's no longer in existence, right, even if, when you ate it at the time, though, there was a sefik about you're eating it, there were two chatikon in front of you, therefore your chayav. Ba'ovei kochavim, flip case, v'achalta rishona, ba'yisrael v'achalta shnia, patur, v'rebi mechayev. Okay, Tanakama says you're patur, Rebbe says you're chayav dafka. Okay? Let's say you ate them both, but the first one you were shogeg about, which means you'd be chayav and Hashem taloi. Hashnia, you ate b'mezid. What does it mean b'mezid in this case? Well, you knew that there were these two pieces, one was shumam, one was chaylev, so you know now if you eat one, for sure, either the first eating was going to be chayav or now you're going to be chayav. So then, of course, you wouldn't be chayav a korban for the second one, but chayav harishona, chayav. Okay, you're chayav for the first one, because when you ate it b'shogeg, there were two pieces in front of you. If the first one you ate mezid, you knew, and then you forgot, and then you ate the second one, so the second one was b'shogeg, patur, again, you're patur, why? Because there's only one chaticha in front of you, but Rebbe's b'chayev, because Rebbe thinks, again, what does Rebbe hold? Even one chaticha, you can be chayev, and now you have a suffix about one chaticha. Achal shtehem b'mezid, if you ate them both on purpose, well, patur miklum, right, you don't, it's not a good thing, but you can't bring a korban because you did it mezid. Korban's only for shogeg. Shtehem b'shogeg, shnehem chayav. Okay, so now they don't mean shtehem that you ate them both b'shogeg, right? Also, it means two people ate. One ate b'shogeg and the other ate b'shogeg. Two Jews. Okay. Shnehem chayavim. Now, why are they both chayavim? Right? According to Tanakama, the second one shouldn't be chayav because there's only one chaticha, only the first one. So they say like this. Hasheni lo menadin, not really by law, but ela she'im ata omer patur, there's a separate problem here. If we say the second one's patur, and the first one has to bring an asham taloi, what's going to be the problem? When people look, they're going to say, oh look, the second guy's patur, it must be, he's patur because he didn't do anything wrong. The first one must have done something wrong, and what are they going to say? You have to bring a chatat, you must have been vadai wrong. Okay, when they look from a distance at the situation, it looks like one did something wrong and one didn't. And therefore, his Hashem Talei should turn into a chatat. So, im ata omer patur, kavata et harishona b'chatat. People are going to think that he should bring a chatat, and they're going to force him to bring a chatat when really he's not chayav a chatat because there's still a safek. And that's why we make the second one bring an Hashem Talei. Now we're going to have a problem. Who does this go according to? Umanu, this last halacha. I Rebbe minadin. If it's Rebbe, Rebbe says the second guy no matter what brings, because one chaticha, you bring an Hashem Taloi, so he should bring. The right minadinu. I Rabbanan, mishum delo nikba rishon b'chata, ne'emale l'sheni, ayite chulin l'azara. You can't just be mechayev someone an Hashem Taloi when they're not chayav, just because we're worried they're going to make the first guy bring a chata, we're going to make someone bring chulin l'azara, meaning he's not chayav. If he's not chayav, there's no korban. If there's no korban, you can't just make up a korban, a chiyuv korban. We don't do that because of the problem that you can't bring in chulin to l'azara. So Amar Avashi, Rabbi Eliezer, he Tamar minadev adam Hashem Taloi b'chol yom. Oh, this must be Rabbi Eliezer Shita, who says not only on one chaticha can you bring, but even if there's no chatichot, right? You can just bring any time. So according to him, he doesn't think there's a problem with chulin bazara because you can bring it between a davas. So what do you do? So we've seen this kind of situation many times where you make a tnai. Hilkach hamrin alei. So therefore, they say to the second guy, Aite asham taloi, bring an asham taloi. Va'atne, make a tnai. I achal rishon shuman hu achal chelev. How do you read this? I achal rishon shuman hu achal chelev. Okay. If achal rishon shuman, then he ate chelev, and therefore lehavi kapara. The second person ate chelev, and therefore this should be his atonement. V'ilo, and if not, lehavi nidava. Right. If I didn't eat the chelev, then this should be a nidava for me. Right. A voluntary offering.
Doesn't this render it all like meaningless? Like
why?
Because if you're just letting people just bring this asham talui or...
Again, it's not meaningless because if somebody thinks that maybe they did something wrong and they'd like to bring a korban for it, we allow for that. Right. Again, the opposite approach is to say, no, you're making this all hefker, like just bring korban, bring korban, bring korban. Right, that's the opposite approach.
Like that.
Right. You could, there's definitely argument to say that. And notice he's a da'at yachid. No, nobody really agrees with him. But
I guess it's,
you know, the
expensive
mainstream opinion.
It's expensive, so that might stop.
It's expensive. I actually think that the, I mean, again, it's just my read. But my read in this is that it's going to create a society of people that are constantly worrying that they maybe did something wrong and bringing korbanot. I think it creates an obsessive, you know, how far can you go of being worried? Maybe I did something wrong. I should just keep bringing korbanot. Like, it's not good for people's psychological well-being.
But where does korbanot? I'm sorry.
Or the opposite, they don't care because, well, there's going to bring a...
Ah, yafeh. So then it could also cause the reverse, which is echtav ashuv, echtav ashuv. I mean, here we're not actually sinning, we're just accidental sinning, but this concept that the Nevi'im talk about all the time, which is that people were just bringing sacrifices to absolve them without having any intent, any anything, and just, you know. On the other hand, they did have to keep spending money to do it, so there was some sacrifice on their part, so to speak, you know, no pun intended. But, so these are all interesting ways to think about it, right? I think there's a lot of different directions here, and what exactly is the reason behind it, we don't really know, and why, you know, what the motivation. But it's very interesting to think about the different possibilities. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Acha safek chelev v'nodalo. Safek chelev v'nodalo. Okay. You ate a safek chelev, and then you didn't realize it was safek chelev, and then someone told you, do you know that you just ate one of those two pieces? Let's just stick with the two pieces. Okay, you ate one of those two pieces, and one of them was possibly, you know, one of them was chelev, and I don't know which one you ate. Okay. Then another case of safek chelev, v'nodalo. So Rebbe Omer, k'shem, Omer ani, k'shem shemivi chatat kol achat ve'achat, kach mivi asham taloya kol achat ve'achat. Okay? Just like if you'd have had, this is what we call yidiyat safek. Okay? It's a yidiyah, but it's not a real yidiyah. You didn't know for sure in the middle that you ate chelev, but you know now that you got yourself into a suffix situation. So just like if you would, somebody told you in the middle, did you know that was chelev? And you say, I didn't know that was chelev. And then you're chayav achatat. And then you do the same thing again, and then they tell you, that's what we call shtei halamot, and you're chayav achatat on each one. So it comes to Rebbe, and he says, you're also chayav asham taloi on each one. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon Amrim, Ein mevi ela asham taloi echad. You only bring one asham taloi. Why? Because it's a unique halacha by asham taloi that ein halamo mechalkot. Okay, this goes back to things we've been reading, learning the last few days. Shenemar, why special drasha on the pasuk? Al shigigato asher shagag, afilu al shigagot harbe, eino chayav ela echad. Because it says al shigigato asher shagag, they learn you can have one shagag, right? One korban for many shagot. Okay? And therefore we learn there's no such thing as multiple asham talois on the same kind of act, even if you added yidiyat safek ba'emsa. But now we're going to focus on Rebbe. Rebbe says yidiyat safek, right, makes you chayav two asham talois, right? Or multiple, depending on how many. So comes Rebbe Zera and he says, Amar Rebbe Zera, kan shina Rebbe. From here one can learn from Rebbe that what Rebbe really meant was also yidiyot safek mechalkot lechataot. Okay, now in order to understand this, you have to understand how this whole process works. Okay, let's just review. I assume you have this, but just to review to make it clear. You eat something, you didn't realize you ate it. Someone comes and tells you you ate chelev. So you bring a korban chatat, right? That's a vav. That's, yeah, that's what we call hele machat, right? And then if it happened twice, that's shtei halamot. Just like you have shtei halamot there, we now said the same thing with an asham taloi. Asham taloi is you ate something, you didn't realize anything was wrong. Somebody came and told you, do you know there was a safek? One of those pieces was chelev, and maybe that's the one you ate. You bring an asham taloi. Now, let's say that happened, like we said, twice.
Wait, what's the difference?
The difference is in the first one, you know for sure you ate chelev. The second one, you know for sure that maybe you did something wrong, but you don't
the
know.
One's a maybe, the first one's
exactly.
How is that different from the two people who sleep together and in the beginning they don't know, and only afterwards they find out? Because where is their kavanah in all of this? That's what's bothering me in all of this.
No, so all of this is shogeg. There is no kavanah. There's no intent. This is all the realm of shogeg.
Okay, so because those
chatat asham taloi is only for accidental sinning.
So because very different than if you bring a carbon and
that's,
you know,
different.
When we learn
this is all accidental. All the world of accidental. So there's no intent. That's why you're wondering where's the intent. There's no intent. Mm-hmm. Okay? The whole intent comes in when you have knowledge. Okay, that's gonna be the key thing here. So in the chatat, it's knowledge you did it. In the asham, it's knowledge that maybe you did it. So now, what did we just say according to Rebbe? Knowledge that maybe you did it is like knowledge. Right? It's the same thing in the sense that it splits things up, that now you can be chayav two asham talois. If you ate something, you had no idea you did anything wrong. Someone said, you know, one of those two pieces was chaylev. Maybe you ate it, you'd have to bring an asham talois. And if the same thing happened again before you brought your first asham talois, and then again the exact same thing would happen, you would have to bring two asham talois and not just one. But now there's a third stage. If you remember, in the asham talois, what do we say? When you eventually find out, if you eventually find out, that you did something wrong, your asham talois doesn't cover you. It only covers you until such time that you find out, did you really do it? When you really find out that you did it wrong, you have to bring a korban chatat. Let's say you had these two cases, okay? On Sunday, you ate something, and on Monday, you ate something, and Sunday evening, someone came and said, do you know, you might have eaten something wrong. And on Monday evening, they came to you and said, do you know, you might have done something wrong. And on Tuesday evening, you find out the truth that both times you ate chelef. How many chatats do you have to bring? Okay, right? You follow? Because it's one he'elem, because you only found out at the end that you did something wrong. So that would be called he'elem achad. But the asham talo, you had a yediyat safek in the middle. So does the yediyat safek also separate you for your later chatat? Okay?
You don't have to bring talui once you found out that you did it wrong.
No.
If you haven't.
No, if you, let's say you never brought your asham, if Tuesday came and you found out for sure and you never brought your asham talo, you don't have to bring it. Okay? It's only that if you took care of it Tuesday morning, right, it would have covered you for Tuesday, you know, and obviously for times it would take you much longer or you'd never find out. So, Rabbi Zeira says, Kanshina, Rebbe idiot sfeikot machakot l'chataot. That means these idiot safek separate you also for the korban chatat. So when you find out in that one yidiyah later, one he'elem, that you actually ate chaylev in both those instances, since the yidiyat safek in the middle, it splits it, and you bring separate korban chatat for Sundays and a separate korban chatat for Mondays. Rava Amar ein yidiyot safek mechalkot v'chataot. He doesn't agree with that. Elahachi katani, he says, this is what it says. Kashem shimaitalo yidiyat vadai, maybe chatata kol achat v'achat, maybe asham talua. Remember we had that line in the Brayta we saw? I think it was the Brayta or maybe a Mishnah, where it said, here, let me see it. It's a Brayta. And we said, klalos shel davar kol shechalukim b'chataot, chalukim b'ashamot. Just like chataot are split, right? The yediyah splits for ashamot. That taught you this case about a yediyah tzafek. But it didn't go farther to teach you about learn back from there, back to the chatat. Okay? So, therefore, we learn that, right? So that's what Rava says. Kosh chalukim b'chatao, chalukim b'ashamo, but not the reverse, right? Okay, I'm sorry. Where am I? No, I skipped. Okay. So, hachitanik shem sh'im ha'talo yidiyat badan, maybe chatat kol chatat. Therefore, yidiyat safek makes him bring an asham talo in each one. Amar le Abaye, so now Abaye questions Rava's shita. You don't believe that really they split the chataot? And he only brings one chatat in this case. He says, then why would you bring a separate asham? It's such a weird thing, he says. You're going to bring two asham talois, but you're going to resolve it with one chatat? That seems weird. The hatanya doesn't say in a braita, klalo shel davar. This is what I should have just looked ahead. It says it here. Kol shechalukim b'chataot, chalukim b'ashamot. Now he reads that line as saying, always, right? Chatat, asham, they're all split in the same way, which means your chatat will be split also. So Amar le Rava Bar Chanan, he actually doesn't answer him, but he throws a question back at Abaye. And now we're going to question Abaye, which is really Rabbi Zeira's Shita. The diot safek b'chakot l'chataot. And we're going to have four questions. Two of them are different versions of what Rava Bar Chanan asked Abaye. And then there's two more they're going to ask on Rabbi Zeira. Amar le Rava Bar Chanan l'Abaye. Ulididachta amar diot safek b'chakot l'chataot. If you're going to say really they split, elameata. Now, all these questions are going to be premised on this one assumption, which is an interesting assumption. We don't have time to really think about it well, but Yom Kippurim is like an Asham Talui. And therefore, it is in a sense, if you remember, Yom Kippurim atones. Every moment of Yom Kippurim atones. Remember we had that whole thing? What if you did Malacha on Yom Kippurim? So you atone for that, but Yom Kippurim atones. Now, if Yom Kippurim atones, that means that it atones like an Asham Talui, that on things that you might not know you have done. Which means that its kapara is like having a yediyah be'emtza, because you kind of brought a separate asham taloi on it, even though you didn't. Okay? If you're going to compare asham taloes, and every time you bring an asham taloi, well, you have to bring a separate chatat. So then if Yom Kippurim was mechaper, that should cause a new korban chatat according to the shita. Because every time you bring an Asham Taloi, right? Asham Taloi splits, the Yediyas, a Safek Yediyas splits, it's like an Asham Taloi splitting, which is like Yom HaKippurim splitting. So we're going to have these four cases of Yom HaKippurim where we're going to see it doesn't really view as this Yom HaKippurim splits it. So you ate a Kazayah Chelev before Yom Kippur, and a Kazayah Chelev achar Yom HaKippurim, the Yom HaKippurim bimkom Asham Taloi Kai. So Hachanami, de maybe Shtei Chataot, are you going to have to bring two separate chataot? Let's say, right, you ate a chalev, you didn't know you ate chalev, and only after, right, 2 weeks after Yom Kippurim, do you find out? And one was before Yom Kippur, one was after Yom Kippur. You're going to say, what, you bring two separate ones? Mm-hmm. According to Abaye and Rabbi Zeira, you would bring two separate ones because the idiot safek mechaleket. Ha behele mechat achlina. You ate them all, only behele mechat, you should only bring one chatat. So Amalei Abaye, uman lemaman, do Yom Kippurim mechaperal, de lo mit yadale. He raises a question. Who's to say Yom HaKippurim is mechaper on things I don't know about? Dilma b'hudim et yadale. Maybe it's only mechaper on things I actually know about. Amalei Rava, hodava lo hodatna. Rava says you're wrong. It says in the Mishnah in Shvuah, in Yom HaKippurim, if you remember, we talked about things you don't... But we talked there about the korbanot and what they're mechaper on, and then Yom HaKippurim, the seirim are mechaper al delo mit yadale. Okay, on hodava lo hodalo, on anything you don't know, and therefore we're left with a question on Abaye. Ikadamre. Some people say the version of the question was like this. Amalei Rav Chanan Labai. Ma ilu achal kezayah chelev shacharit b'yom HaKippurim v'chezayah chelev b'mincha b'yom HaKippurim. Hachanami d'b'chayv shtei chataot. I'll give you another crazy case. What if you ate in the morning and you ate in the afternoon on Yom HaKippurim? What? You're going to be chayv two chataot because Yom HaKippurim in the middle was mechaper because every minute of Yom HaKippurim is mechaper. So Amalei Abai, uman leimalan d'yom HaKippurim kol shata mechaper. Tum kule yom ha-meorta. Maybe it's just once at the end of the day. Who's to say that every minute of Yom HaKippurim is mechaper? So Amalei, right, he answers him back, Talada, okay, you're wrong, you fool, or some kind of negative word. Tanya, Hare Shabali Yado Safek Avera B'Yom HaKippurim, Afilum Chashecha Patur, Shekola Yom HaKippur. Now we saw this, if some Safek Avera comes by near the very end of the day, right, every moment of Yom HaKippurim is Mechaper, and therefore, even toward the end of the day, Yom HaKippurim is Mechaper, you don't have to bring an Ashram Taloyan. So again, we're left with the question on Abaye. Third question, Matav Rav Yidi Bar Avin. אחר ושתה בהלם אחת, אינו חייב אלא חטאת אחת. והא בין אכילה לשתייה אי אפשר שלא הווה שהוא ביום דמתייד עלי, וכיפר לי דיום הכיפורים, וכיפר לי דיום הכיפורים במקום אשם תלוי חי. So now what happened? You ate and you drank, and then you found out that it was usher to eat and drink on Yom HaKippurim. So you're only chayav one chatat, even though in between the time you ate and you drank, it's like the same thing as the previous case, right? There was obviously some sort of break in the middle, and that Yom HaKippurim is mechaper, it should have split according to you. Right, so Yisak HaDatach Yediyot Tzapek Mechalkot L'chataot L'chayav Shtei Chataot. You should be chayav two. So Amre Ki Amar Abizera L'Rebi Ha Rabbanan Hi. Oh, that's easy. You can say that source was all according to Rabbanan. Rabbi Zera says, I'm only coming to explain Rebbe. Sounds like a great answer, except if you look at that, it's a Mishnah in Yoma. If you look at that Mishnah, Bahami de Seifa Rebbe Hi, but the Seifa is Rebbe. So it's hard to say that this isn't Rebbe, in which case it's questioned back on Rabbi Zera, who's explaining Rebbe. De Katani, what does it say at the end of that Mishnah? Shatat sir omorayis patur. If you drank fish brine or fish, the fish fats, you're patur, because that's not considered eating. You do that on Yom Kippur, that's not food. Nobody eats that. Ha chometz, but what's not listed there? Vinegar. If you drank vinegar, you'd be chayav. Now, who does that go according to? Mane Rebihi. De Tanya, chometz ein mishivat hanefesh. Verebi omer ani, chometz mishivat et hanefesh. Rebbe holds that chometz, if you're fasting and you're feeling miserable and you drink some vinegar, it will make you feel better. So therefore, he holds that it's usher to do that on Yom Kippur, and it's only he who holds that, which means the Mishnah must be according to him, which means we're left with our question. We need to say for Rebbe, Reisha Nami Rebbe. So what are the answer? No, Amre, say for Rebbe, Reisha Rabbanan. You could say no. Two different authors of two different parts of the Mishnah. Last question for today, Etive. Rava asked another question on the Shita. Rabbi Zera, Achal hayom achal lemachar, nehene hayom nehene lemachar. Okay, now we're talking about me'ila. If you eat a chatzi pruta of hektesh, right, you eat it as chulin, and you eat another chatzi pruta the next day, or you get hana'ah from it in some way, not eating, or we're going to see, right, so, and again, you split each pruta, each half pruta on a different day. Achal hayom nehene lemachar, you join achila and hana'ah, nehene hayom achal lemachar, afilu mikam ba'ad shalosh shanim. even if you nehaneh chatzi pruta, and then 3 years later, until 3 years, okay, 3 years though is this, right? Chazaka and all things of the 3 years. Until 3 years, minayin shem, it starts from zeim zeh, tamud lamar tim ol ma'al, riba, because of the lashon tim ol ma'al, double lashon, it means to include an additional case, even if you don't have a full shear of me'ila, but you gather it, collect it over time, then you're going to be chayav. Va'amai. Haki parallel Yom Kippurim, right? If you say over 3 year period, Yom Kippurim came in the middle, Yom Kippurim should have split. Idiyami safek. So, Amrei ki mechaper Yom Kippurim, this is an interesting answer. Alisura. Yom Kippurim, if we go back to that whole thing about what is Yom Kippurim mechaper, it's only on Isurim. Mamona lo mechaper, which shows you again the Me'ila is a din, not of Isur Veheter, which you might have thought as a tech date, the din of Gzela. Dina Mamano, you stole something that doesn't belong to you. You stole from the Hekdesh, but you stole from someone something that doesn't belong to you. So, Yom Kippurim is not Mechaper Mamon, and that's why Yom Kippurim has nothing to do with this. The Ibai Dema, second answer, Ki Mechaper Yom Kippurim, Al Kule Shiura, Al Pagda Shiura La Mechaper. Another interesting which connects to things we learned before also, which is that Yom Kippurim, when we want to say something's Mechaper, can only mean Mechaper on a shear's worth of Isser. So if you did half a pruta, that's only half an Isser. So you have to wait till you have an entire shiur in order for Yom Kippurim to actually atone for you. And that's why Yom Kippurim didn't mess up anything in the middle. But not because it theoretically could have. If you had a whole shiur of a pruta, then it would have wiped it out. Very interesting about how Yom Kippur and Korbanot wipe out Isurim and, you know, and how it works. We'll continue a little bit more with this Rabbi Zeira thing tomorrow about can we go, you know, learn from Chatat to Asham and then from Asham to Chatat, right, to the next level or not. And that's the debate between them and how they learn it.